From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, February 3rd, 2009. Each week, Directions Media editors tackle topics related to all things location. This is Adina Schutzberg in Somerville, Massachusetts.
And this is Joe Francica in Huntsville, Alabama.
Open source is in the news again. The U.S. Department of Defense announced its Forge.mil, an open source project repository akin to SourceForge, last week. And last month, President Obama tapped Sun co-founder Scott McNeely to prepare a document on open source and its potential in government. But what of open source GIS? How is that corner of geospatial being funded and groomed for growth? We'll look at a few paths that have led to open source success after a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by ESRI. Quickly get your imagery to the people who need it with ArcGIS Server Image Extension. For more information, visit www.esri.com/image.
Now, I want to look at three different efforts whose goals are to grow open source geospatial technology. And I want to take these one at a time. First, we'll look at the Open Source Geospatial Foundation. We'll look at Mark Gordon and his funding of the Open Planning Project, which in turn has become OpenGeo, which has put out the GeoServer open source product. And then we'll take a look at what's been happening in Washington, D.C., where the CIO basically funded a contest to create apps with the city's open data. So let's start with OzGeo, and just as sort of a recap, the organization was founded in 2006 with a large infusion of cash from Autodesk. Autodesk didn't just give money, it also gave a bunch of software that had put into the open source space, MapGuide open source, the FDO technology, and most recently the projection code that it acquired from Mentor Software. Now, the foundation is modeled after the Apache Foundation, which supports the Apache web server. And right now, as I looked at the website, OzGeo has 12 sponsors, including Autodesk, and the other ones that listeners may have heard of include Ingress, Lizard Tech, PCI, and OneSpatial. And to be honest, none of them are funding the organization at the level that Autodesk did, which is sort of too bad, but these are not huge companies like Autodesk is either. The foundation has 18 projects under development or in incubation, and there seems to be some sort of reshifting of ideas at OzGeo about what it is and what it does. There's been a lot of talk about whether it's a marketing organization or it's a development organization and how it should use its resources. But let me just quote from its website. This is how OzGeo defines itself. It's a not-for-profit organization dedicated to providing a reliable home for open-source geospatial software. It also serves as a vehicle for promoting open source software and is a place where the community can gather to drive ahead innovations and maturation of the technologies we collectively share. Now, we've been following OzGeo since even before it was born, I guess is the way I would put it. What's your sense of somebody sort of looking more from the outside of open source? Do you see OzGeo really as a real impetus to open source development?
Well, I think it can be, and I think that's what it's trying to be. I think for a time there was kind of a lull, and we saw this, I think, within the last year, that it perhaps didn't get the visibility it should. I'm not sure it promoted some of the projects well enough that it was working on. Perhaps now, with some of the developments that we're going to talk about on this call, that we'll get more of a buzz about what open source can do, the potential that some of these local government agencies will be doing, and maybe will spur others. But I think that OzGeo is not a marketing organization. It's not positioned to promote itself or its members so much, and maybe that's where some of the communication has been lacking. So given that it's primarily an organization for developers, for the open source community, it probably doesn't look at itself as one that should get its name out there. And given its importance, it probably should do a little bit more of that.
Yeah, I think one of the things that OzGeo and frankly the rest of the planet is really coming to grips with is that the efforts there in development are not in a separate box completely removed from everything else that's going on in geospatial. In fact, what I'm seeing more and more is that any implementation of geospatial technology is a mix There's some open source stuff, there's some proprietary stuff, there's some custom stuff, and I think as we all get more comfortable with that, and OzGeo and the folks who work on the various projects speak in that kind of language, it's going to make it much more comfortable for organizations that have been hesitant to think about open source geospatial technology as part of their solution. It'll make them a lot more comfortable.
I think the open source community ought to take this as an opportunity and run with it, because this could be a real opening for geospatial technology in the broader IT community. I think some of the enterprise applications that are out there that are using open source or proprietary have a little bit of a difficulty understanding geo, and maybe this is an opportunity for OzGeo to plug in and really raise their flag and visibility among the mainstream IT sector.
Right. And I think one of the things that OzGeo has done recently was signed an agreement with the Open Geospatial Consortium to sort of jointly support each other's efforts in open standards and open source. And that's another way to sort of get in a sense, to the broader IT, is to follow standards and to be involved with that. One challenge that OzGeo has is that it does have an annual conference that moves around the world. This year it was in South Africa, and I made the point that there really wasn't any coverage of what happened there. There weren't really any journalists there. I didn't get there. Next year's conference is in Sydney. So hopefully more will get shared. Those are big events, and there's a lot of energy at those events, and that needs to percolate out. So hopefully that will happen in the coming year. Now, let's move on to a name that a lot of people may not know in geospatial. This fellow's name is Mark Gorton, and in the IT world, he's known as the fellow behind LimeWire, which is a peer-to-peer data sharing solution and company. But he's very important, whether people know it or not, within geospatial, because he was the one who put up the money for the Open Planning Project, sometimes referred to as TOP. And the Open Planning Project just recently renamed its geospatial division as OpenGeo. That's a name people are going to start hearing about. We had an article just recently about their Geo Web Cache, one of their projects. Now, here is an example of somebody from just general IT who had a pile of money, who really had a vision for open source tools for urban planning. And that's where the whole Open Planning Project came from. But it's very clear, and here's a quote from just a recent article about Gorton in one of the Wired blogs. And this is a quote that really sums up sort of what he was thinking. It, open source access to geodata, didn't really exist before GeoServer. Most of the data was run on software from a company called ESRI. Government agencies have this data, but it's all running on proprietary systems, and you couldn't get access to it, or it's very hard to get access to it. And that's what sort of spun him to set aside some money, get a company going that could sort of solve this problem. So he's one of these angels that falls out of the sky and makes things happen. Are we going to have more people like this who see the vision and can fund it, or is this maybe a one-of-a-kind kind of thing?
That's a really good question, because it begs the real question of, are there projects out there that are important enough in the general scheme of things? And he was looking at urban planning for which geospatial technology can plug into. He obviously saw a need, and he went out and created something himself, realized that there was data in a repository in an ESRI format that he had a problem getting to it. So his solution to the problem was, well, let's go open source. I'll do this myself. Whether there are going to be more people like that in this economic climate, I think, is a real challenge. Good for what he did, but looking at it from where we are now, I think it'll be tough to make that to find more angels like him.
Right, and he did found the Open Planning Project in 1999 when things were pretty good.
Yeah, well before the crash in 2001.
Right. Right, so that got going, made it through, and has really grown into something much bigger than it originally was. It does really make it a challenge for those who are trying to start new efforts. What's happening mostly, I think, in open source now is, instead of new projects popping up, people are taking advantage of existing projects and, in fact, trying to, in a sense, filter the energy toward the best project in any given space. So in a sense, in the same way that we're talking about in LBS, there's an awful lot of competition and different companies are starting to get knocked out. The same thing is sort of happening in open source because there's only so much energy and money, for that matter, for any of these specific projects to go forward.
Well, I'm going to bring up the issue of a business model again. I think only a few companies have designed their business model to take advantage of open source technology, and I think that's the first step. I think that is where some of the support of OSGEO, I think, would help. For a long time, for many years, if you went to a proprietary vendor like ESRI or like MapInfo or Ingraph, there were partner programs in place to help you get started. I don't think there's anything like that in the OSGEO community, other than OSGEO itself. But there's nobody out there saying, hey, we're going to send you a sales lead so that you can implement open source technology to this organization. There's really nothing like that. So if you're going to look for these angels, they're going to be few and far between.
I think that's true. And I think the company that was maybe going to be in that role that you just described has actually gone very dark, and that's DM Solutions out of Ottawa. At the time that OSGEO was forming, they were the map server guys. They had hosted solutions, and they had all kinds of great products coming out, and the company was getting big, and then things got very quiet. So I don't know whether that was a business model challenge or an economic challenge or what. But you're right, we haven't sort of had that level of leadership. And maybe that's what OpenGeo will ultimately, it'll take on a role like that.
It certainly could, and I think connection with OSGEO and the OGC, although again, neither of which are marketing organizations or equipped to handle any sort of partner program, certainly there's an opportunity to get something like that started, or at least to have some collaboration between these groups that are to want to promote open source technology. But it's needed. I mean, I think that's the main key, is that you need some central focus to get programs like that started, to somebody to get educated about a business model, and to delve into the opportunities that exist.
Okay, let's move on to what's perhaps the most recent and most interesting open source initiative, although it really wasn't necessarily a geospatial initiative, and that came out of Washington, D.C., and the chief technical officer in Washington, D.C., Vivek Kundra, was really working on opening up the data for the district. And one of the choices that he made was to put together a contest through a company called iStrategy Labs to have individuals and companies build apps against this open data. One of the requirements of the D.C. contest was that the applications had to be open source. And when you look at the numbers, it's pretty impressive. They spent about $433 on advertising the contest. iStrategy Labs received about $50,000 from the city. And those who made the different apps, the winners of the projects, received about $2,000. So the investment was very small. The applications that were built within a 30-day time frame last November were quite impressive. And according to one article about this project, the district saved $2.6 million by having a contest and allowing everyone to participate rather than hiring contractors or purchasing proprietary software. So how's that for a model of getting open source going?
I was completely blown away by this whole effort. I think if talk about thinking outside the box, this one really, I think, hit a home run. I could not believe, first of all, that they got the response that they did with on such a small budget. And second of all, so many of the applications were location-related. All of them were mashups of some sort, at least the winners were.
Right.
And then just the applications themselves, in particular the iLiveAt application with, you know, instantaneous demographics for a very limited area. I mean, it's somewhat limited application, and we'll give the link to the reader, to the listeners here today. But just a fantastic, quick and dirty application that, I don't know, I think was very, very imaginative.
So a couple of things really happened here. One was this whole idea of a contest, and that idea is, let's face it, not new. Every vendor, every platform provider seems to have some kind of contest. There's currently one going on in New Zealand where the prize is a trip to Wear 2.0, but they're everywhere. The real goal of the people participating, I think, is just the visibility. Let's get our company's name out. Let's get our the individual programmer's name out as the winner, and that will lead on to future things. But you don't really make much money out of this. I mean, this one, if you got $2,000, that's not a lot of money.
Yeah, but I think, as you may have pointed out, the point is that it's a contest from an unusual source, right? It was a contest by a local government, and maybe more pointedly by the D.C. local government, which hasn't been necessarily known for their efficiency. But with the mayor and the CTO, I mean, I thought this was a very creative way to get applications out there to the public. They had an urgent need with the inauguration coming up. They knew that they were going to have a lot of tourists regardless, and we're more than willing to expose both the great things as well as the bad things like crime in some of these applications.
What this contest did, I think, as much as anything, was highlighted how open data and open source solutions are sort of a handshake. They really do go together, and I think perhaps some of these developers were much more willing to jump into this because the data was available and because DC had made that commitment to open data.
So I'll ask you, how do you think something like this can carry on to either other municipalities or even at the federal level?
Right. Can we reproduce this kind of a thing?
Yeah.
Well, this happened back in, ended up in November. So things were just starting to get bad with the economy.
Yeah. Well, it started in September, right? The contest was started in September.
Right.
In that 30-day window, which is...
Right. So one of the challenges about any of these kinds of, in a sense, free labor efforts are they work great when times are reasonably good and people have money in their pockets and food on the table. But as things are turning now, you really wonder if somebody's going to, unless they are unemployed or don't have existing work, it's hard to imagine they're going to be able to put this much effort into something like this, you know, with limited or almost no payment.
Well, but by the same token, the guys who won the contest got essentially free advertising, right? They put up money that was invested in their time to create the application, but in turn, they let the D.C. government promote them at the back end.
And I think it's worth noting, too, that the Ordnance Survey had a contest like this, too, that had yielded some pretty interesting results. The Ordnance Survey had the Show Us a Better Way contest, which basically was, here's some data, go play with it. Some of it was geospatial. That caused some licensing challenges. But it, again, raised this issue about open data, and those weren't necessarily open source, I don't believe. But clearly, we're beginning to see sort of a series of these kinds of efforts, and I think it's almost, in a sense, part of the government business model to figure out how to do this. And I think the real key point of this is to start with open data and then build upon that. That, I think, really gets people excited. And maybe the next step is to turn to something like an open street map where the data is open already. And what can you do with that? Could somebody sponsor a contest to see what you could do with the open street map data? Some people are already using that for commercial applications already, but that's sort of the next step, perhaps, of where this is going to go. And there are discussions right now in various blogs and on Twitter about, do we want the data to be open, or do we want there to be data services that follow some standards? And at least right now, what I'm reading is people want access to the raw data. They don't really want the services. So that's sort of the big question, I think, for the municipalities. But when they see the kind of return they can get, I think it only makes them look good. I mean, look, as you point out, D.C. looks like a shining star with this effort.
Yeah, it really does. I think they made a tremendous effort. They took a risk to promote something that really truly was unique for a local government, so they ought to be applauded for their efforts.
Right, and I guess the real bottom line is efforts like this should end up paying the folks who write the apps, whether it's a contest or not, a substantial wage. I mean, this is real work, providing real value with it. That's all the time we have for today. But before we go, our sponsor, ESRI, would like you to know that the deadline to submit an abstract for the 2009 ESRI Business GIS Summit has been extended to February 13th. The summit will take place May 4th through the 6th in Denver, Colorado. You are invited to be a part of this one-of-a-kind forum by submitting your work to share your GIS experiences and knowledge with other business professionals and industry leaders. Visit www.esri.com/bizsummit, that's B-I-Z-S-U-M-M-I-T, for more information and to submit an abstract. If you'd like to share your thoughts on today's podcast topic or anything else, you can reach us at editors@directionsmag.com. Thanks for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.